glad to see everyone here tonight. And thank you, I want to say, for the meal that y'all blessed us with today. That was very wonderful, and I was told that after services today, if y'all want to stay, there's plenty of food back there again for everybody to stay and eat, and I seen that as I was leaving today. Usually we about nearly run out, but today it didn't happen that way. So thank y'all again for that. Today, I want to make it real short and sweet for y'all. If you would open up your Bible to Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1, and I'm just going to pick a few verses here, and I'm going to read them and so that you can understand what type of a God we have. And it'll be kind of hard to follow suit with it. It'll be verse 1, verse 3, verse 6, verse 9, verse 11, and it's just real fast. I'm going to go through them, and I'm not going to read the whole verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God said, let there be light. And God said, let there be expanse between the waters and to separate the waters from the water. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered in one place and let the dry ground appear. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the skies to separate the day from the night. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures and the birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, wild animals, and other according to its kind. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the livestock of the earth and all creatures among the ground. So God created man in his own image. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and tree. God saw all he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, and the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all of the work of creating the world that he'd done. When you read that, you say, wow, God is powerful. God is awesome. We used that word when I was going to school in the 80s and the 90s. Awesome. I said the 90s. I graduated in 91, so it was a little bit of the 90s. Awesome. That's a word that means powerful. It means something great, something that you can't fathom, something that's awesome. You're in awe of it when you look at it. Now I want you to turn over to the very last chapter of the Bible, verse 22, and then we'll go home. We're not going to do that. I'm not going to cut you no slack today. Chapter 22, verse 12. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. That's you and I. If you're baptized into Christ, your robe is white and you're allowed to be there with Christ and God that day. Verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let who hears come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. That's Jesus. So we went from the start to the last. Now, if you was my teacher and you gave me a book report, that's what I did in school. I read the first page and the last page. And I could give you a pretty good definition of the whole Bible. Look at it in that aspect. You start the Bible with God telling us what he done for us. He created us. Awesome. God is awesome. He's powerful. He can do anything if he can do what he did there, correct? And you're just like amazed with it. And then you go to the end and you go, he gave his son up. He died for us. And he'd given us a reason to live through this earth. And whatever's going on, we have a home with him afterward. You can go from the front to the back and you can come to the conclusion that God is awesome. God is powerful. What I want to do now, I want to give each of you a test. I took the test myself. I got a B minus on the test. You give yourself whatever grade you want to. And you keep it to yourself. I don't want to hear it. Your grade is your grade. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Paul says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And what I'd like to ask you, if we had to grade ourselves on this scripture, how would you score? An A is a perfect example. A B is most of the time. C is sometimes. And then D would be when it's convenient for me. That's when you could tell someone else, follow my example because I am the example of Christ. Put yourself in those shoes and give yourself that grade, whatever you would like to do. We know that our God is awesome. He's an all-knowing God. He's all-hearing. He's all-seeing. He's all-powerful, all-kindness, all-love, all-wise. He's all-just. He's our Savior. He's our Creator. He's our Father. He's also our Judge. When we finish today, I will go to that part of it, that you will understand that He's our Judge. We're going to read in Nehemiah right quick. We're going to go back to the Old Testament in the book of Nehemiah, and I'm going to give you a little quick little history right here of it. Nehemiah quickly emerges as the kind of man you can trust with your life. The king of Persia certainly trusts him as the royal cupbearer. So Nehemiah is a cupbearer to the king. So he drinks the wine from the king to make sure it's not poison. Woo! Great job, right? Powerful job. It's a good job for him to have. So, hearing news from Jerusalem, Nehemiah asked the king permission to travel there to a place that he's probably never even seen, though he calls it his homeland. Now, the walls of Jerusalem have been torn down. Nehemiah wants to go back and build these walls back up. He wants to build the walls of Jerusalem back up around it. Fix it back like it's supposed to be because that's the godly thing to do. So, in chapter 1, in verse 5, we're going to start off here. This is Nehemiah talking to God. Then I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love and obey his commands. Did y'all catch that first part? What he said? He said, the great, the awesome Father, the awesome God who keeps his covenant of love. If you keep that, then you understand that God is powerful. He loves us and cares for us, and he's going to be there for us. Finish up his prayer. Let your ear be attentive. He talking to God. Just please listen to me, Lord. Let your ear be attentive to me. And your eyes open and hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night. So he's not just praying this one time. He's praying it day and night to him. The people of Israel, I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We've not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. But remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. Travis talked about that this morning. I didn't get with Travis and talk about any of that, scattering them among the nations. But we're talking about it again. If you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for thy name. They are your servants and your people whom you redeemed by your great strength. Be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was a cupbearer to the king. This is Nehemiah talking, and you understand that Nehemiah understands God. He knows that God is awesome and full of love. He knows that God is faithful and honorable. That's something that we need to understand. And verse 9, you can put it in however you want to. Verse 9, you can say, repent and obey my commands, and I will take you back. So we never are lost. You might think you are. You can claim whatever. But if you come back to Christ, to God, he accepts you. And he said he'll go to the farthest horizon to bring us back to him. That's pretty powerful. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? So we're still going along with this awesome verse. I want to tell you that you heard that prayer. And if you turn over to John, we was talking out here in the foyer before we started. And we said, man, if you just go to the book of John, you can get some powerful stuff out of there. Go to John chapter 17. And this, where we're going to be at, is in verse 20 and 17. And this is right after Jesus prays for himself, and then he prays for his disciples. And then Jesus is praying for all the believers. That's us, guys, that he's praying for. This is right before his death, right before they come to get him and crucify him. He's given this prayer. Verse 20, my prayer is not for them alone. He's talking about the disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's us, guys. That's us right there that he's talking about. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. You see that? How important that is? That first verse that we read earlier in 1 Corinthians? Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Verse 22, I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Please, God, do this for me. Before I die for them, help these people to be what they need to be. So, when I think about that and I looked at that scripture and I told y'all I gave myself a B minus, should I have an A plus? Yeah, we all should have an A plus, but we're not perfect and we can't get to that perfect stance, but we can get better, and there's a way that we can get better. So, for myself right here, Christ prayed for you and I after he prayed for his disciples just before he was arrested and crucified. At verse 23, he said, we may be brought to complete unity to let the world know about Christ. Who's Russell to make this not be true? What Christ asked. What Christ asked God. Who am I to say, I'm not going to fulfill this for you. I'm not going to do it. How would I be for myself if I said, I'm not going to do that? See, I've never put myself in this prayer and said, huh, this is what I'm supposed to do. Paul tells us, and we're supposed to follow what Paul says because Paul's a godly man and he's been with Christ. He understands Christ and he's proclaiming God's word. Didn't write it down as this is Paul's word. This is Christ's word. This is God's word. The book is God. So if God's awesome and God's powerful, I shouldn't be taken away from him in anything that I do. So we go back to that. Follow my example. Turn over to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And we'll read quite a bit of scripture. I won't be too bad on you. I love this scripture right here, 5 and verse 6. You see, at just the right time when you were still sinners, you were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's what we was talking about a while ago in his prayer. He died knowing that we couldn't possibly meet any expectation that God had for us because we're humans. But we do have the right and the ability to follow as closely as we possibly can. And we're able to do that. What we're going to do is God loved us enough to allow Christ to die for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone away and the new has come. So that means that Russell, that's an old Russell, the guy that he was before, there's a new Russell now. And he must follow Christ's word, the scripture. And to follow that, you have to read it. You can't follow the scripture if you don't read the scripture and you don't know the scripture. People can talk to you and tell you different things and say, this is the way it is, this is the way it is. But if you don't look at it yourself, you'll never know that that's what that means. You can't take somebody else's word for it. So I don't ever want y'all to take my word that that's what anything says in here. I want you to look at it yourself and go, yep, that's what that means, because I read that myself and it's there. It's in black and white. It's in red because that's what Jesus said. And you would understand it more. stay in Romans here. We're going to be there for a little bit. Chapter 6, verse 16. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Travis, you done that to your wife when you offered to marry her. Gene, you was a slave to Travis. Travis was a slave to you. We're slaves to Christ through righteousness, not through sin. Through righteousness. We're righteous now. We're not sinful anymore because that's what we need to live, that life, not the other way around. So here we are. He says, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. So if we're obedient, then we're obedient to Christ. So we're not slaves we are slaves now to righteousness, not to sin anymore. Sorry about that. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. A gift from God. You can look at this and go, wow. Can we give a gift anywhere, anyhow, that could compare to the gift that we have received there? And you have to receive this gift. You have to ask Christ to be a part of you. You got to want Christ to be a part of you. Does God want you to be with him? Sure he does. Does he have to have you there? No. It's your choice. It's our decision to make. He gives us that freely. That's what's awesome about this. We have the opportunity to be on the number one team or to be down at the bottom. I guess the basketball is going on right now, and they go through, and it's coming up to the Sweet 16. So you get these seeds that they pick in there, and this is the number one seed, the number two seed, and these teams play each other. You guys are the number one seed, and I don't know if you've ever thought of yourselves that way. Sometimes I think I forget that. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. No, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor future nor powers, nor any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Look. I told you before that God is powerful, and I know you know he's powerful, but there is no greater love than the love that Christ has for us. There is no greater love. You can't find it. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. When y'all read that and you look at the world and you go around and there's this deal that says once saved, always saved, y'all always catch people that always tell y'all that. Does once saved, always saved fit that scripture? Once saved, always saved doesn't fit that scripture. We're supposed to live our lives after becoming one with Christ, as close to Christ as humanly possible. It's difficult sometimes. It's difficult in a lot of decisions, a lot of things that we do in our lives. But we're capable of doing it to the best of our ability. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. 6 and verse 19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. You know, this really irritates me and hurts me when people all over the world use whatever they can to try to make themselves feel better about themselves. I'm talking about drugs, alcohol, sex, whatever it may be. You can think of anything you can possibly do to try to make yourself feel better about it. And they utilize these things to try to help themselves do stuff. And a lot of times I'm able to talk with different people that have been on drugs or alcohol or whatever it is that pulls them aside. And this is the only thing that you can really tell them. This scripture here helps you to understand that your body was given to you by God. You're Christ-like now. So Christ is in you if you become a Christian. So I'm a Christian. I'm not going to allow that to take a hold of me. So, and I thought about this, and I was, and they want this to make themselves feel a little bit better. If you want to get high, this is what I tell them. If you want to get high on Jesus. A little bit goes a long way, but a lot of Jesus can take you places that you can't even imagine. We can't fathom what heaven's going to be like. And a lot of Jesus is studying the Scripture, being one with Christ, understanding Him. So if you have Him in your life, you're with Him, and He's part of you, and you want that for yourself. So I'll tell you, get high on Jesus, because He's there. So read, study, absorb it. Let Him be your benefactor. Let Him take control of you and take you where you need to go, wherever it is in your life. Galatians chapter 2 will be our next spot that we're going to stop at. Galatians chapter 2 in verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Christ lives in me. Christ lives in you. This is what I talked about earlier. Why would I take Him anywhere that would harm Him or put Him down? As in, His having the crown of thorns put on His head and bashed and beaten and spit on and mocked wasn't enough. Why would I, myself, take Christ somewhere that He shouldn't be? Shouldn't do that, should we? So we can look at that, and this is what I want to get at. We're going to live our lives the best that we possibly can. But we have to understand these Scriptures, and we got to know them, and we got to read them, and we got to study them, and we got to say, hey, I can be better than what I'm doing. I'm not going to be that no more. I don't want to do that. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. All of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. So, we're all sons of God through Christ. How awesome is that? So if you are sons of God through the faith in Jesus Christ, you've clothed yourself with Christ. We read about that earlier, didn't we? What was that robe? What was that robe? Is it white?
Yes.
So, he was washed because it was washed with Christ's blood, right? My mouth is so dry today, I don't know why. I'm sorry about that, having to stop for y'all. Turn over to Colossians next. Colossians chapter 3. Getting close to being finished for y'all. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Pretty simple. We have to set a standard of life for ourselves to live by this. Now, is this standard high? What he just read right here? Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. What are things above? You've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Should we think about this place that we have that he's guaranteed us? If we follow him, why not? It's an awesome place. Why not think about it? Why not wonder what it's going to look like? Why not think about it? I love it. I think it's awesome. I think Christ is, he gave us this and he tells us about it. And it's wonderful. So set high standards. A goal that's not too far away. It can be reached. But we have to put God's word into practice in our everyday lives. Not sometimes, not here and only here, but all the time. So we have to put it into practice. Go back to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is notable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, Put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This is Paul talking here still. He told us at the start, he said, follow my example as I follow Christ's example. Did y'all catch that at the end? Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Whatever's true, whatever's good, whatever's holy. Listen here, God is true. God is right. He's pure. He's noble. He's lovely. He's admirable. He's excellent. He's praiseworthy. Not only do we think about such things, but we have to also put them into practice. Into your everyday life, you have to put them into practice. Turn back over to Revelation chapter 22. I have one more scripture for you. And it is verse 18 and 19. So we learned from the start, from Genesis, that God is good. He's powerful. He's awesome. He can do all things. We go to the end of the scripture. I'm coming soon. My reward is with me. I have this place for you. In verse 17, the bride say, come, let him who hear. Whoever's thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take. Let them have the free gift of the water of life. So let them be with me if they want it. Your choice. You get to make that decision. The very last thing that the scripture says in here, though, is verse 18. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to them the plagues described in this book. If anyone takes away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life, and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come the Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. Amen means that's final. That's the truth. That's it. It is what it is. So at the very last, we learned that what's written is true. It's honorable, and it needs to stay true. You cannot allow someone else to change your mind and make it what you want to make yourself feel good, or what they want to make themselves feel good. So what we know about Scripture that we started at the first, right here, is follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. If you guys follow Paul's example as he follows the example of Christ, then everyone that's around you is going to see that. And if anyone decides to follow the example you give, they're following the example of Christ. They're not following you. They're following the example of Christ. Easy for me to say, hard for us to do. Grade yourself daily. Try to make yourself a better person. You know, we see a lot of bad things that happen in the world, but there's always something positive that you can take from any situation or any person or whatever's going on in our lives. You can always find something positive in there. Take the positive, leave the negative aside. Be that positive person. Always follow Christ. Look for God. He tells us what to do. He shows us what to do. We got all the examples we need. All we got to do is read, study, and follow it. If anybody doesn't know God this way, would like to find out more about Christ, if you need prayers, thoughts of any kind, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.